This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just coming up to 5:08. This is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And a new movement has been started on social media by Malaysians aiming to help households who are in need of food and essentials. And essentially, it's called the hashtag Bendera Putih movement because it involves flying a white flag outside your house.
Yeah, so essentially, if you need assistance, right? And whether that is in the form of food or things like that, we are seeing a lot of, we are seeing NGOs, for example, struggling to keep up with the kinds of requests that they are getting from households that are in need of assistance. So if you need assistance, what you would do is fly a white flag or a cloth outside of your home to indicate to neighbors that you need help. And this movement started because of exactly what we were just talking about, which were that there were increasing reports of people facing extreme difficulties in getting essential and food supplies, and also NGOs facing difficulty in actually meeting that need.
So I think there are a few things here that come up, and it all speaks to this larger idea of being able to or feeling like you can reach out for help, right? Because part of the push behind this movement was that it might not always be easy for people to, well, literally go out and ask for help, whereas just putting up that flag might make it an easier way to signal that you do, and also kind of puts out a call for empathy. But it also brings up this larger question of why it is difficult to ask for help, because it's, on the one hand, it's a personal thing. On the other hand, it's also that perhaps as a society, we don't make it entirely too easy for people to do it in the first place.
So I don't know whether this is something that would have appeared if people could leave their homes, because I was thinking about it and about this idea of asking for help. And you know the saying, it takes a village. And so in theory, it should mean that asking for help from the people around you is the most immediate, or is the way that makes the most sense, because it's your local community, people know you. But I actually think that people know you is a double-edged sword, because if people knew you as somebody who used to go to work, if people knew you as somebody who used to be a breadwinner, it may be very difficult, therefore, to accept your new where you are at right now and actually ask for help from the people who know you, as opposed to asking for help from strangers, asking for help from people who are several steps away from knowing you personally. So I find the white flag and the fact that it is right in front of your house, it clearly identifies you as someone who's reaching out, is particularly interesting. And I think that what I just said also speaks to how I think a lot of people feel about the mixed feelings you get when you need to ask for help. That idea of it's something that you feel perhaps a bit ashamed of, it's something that you feel sad about, it's something that, it's not easy, right? Like, just the act of doing it is quite complicated.
I completely agree. So when I read about this movement, on the one hand, I really applaud the idea. And it has been getting a lot of positive feedback and a lot of positive, basically people saying, you know, you should do this. But it did get me thinking about how easy is it to do it in the first place. I mean, again, exactly what you just said. If you live in a neighborhood and people know you, how much does it take for you to be known in the neighborhood as someone who's reaching out for help? Not that I'm saying that it's wrong, but it feeds again into the main challenge of doing it in the first place. I think for me, what this movement signals above all else is that at least it's opening up a discussion on why it's difficult to do this and opening up different avenues in which people can do this.
Yeah, totally. I did also want to add on just two things. One is that this is coming amidst the backdrop of there being also a stunning rise in number of people making calls for mental health aid, you know, to the government, to Talian Kasih and the like, and also this question of whether or not there is actually enough qualified people to deal with the mental health challenges and struggles that we're facing as a result of the pandemic. The other thing I wanted to say is it has already been politically hijacked. So I know that we are talking about the difficulty of asking for help. I will just say that some politicians did not necessarily see it the same way and immediately kind of leapt onto it as a branding opportunity.
As they did with Kita Jaga Kita, right? Which
exactly.
was a Rakyat-led movement which was politically hijacked. But I do think that perhaps this time of crisis is exactly a time when we could all learn to not just reach out for help, but to actually show empathy to those who do. So we're talking about the Bendera Putih movement, which has been launched on social media as a way for people to come forward and ask for assistance with, whether financially or with essentials, by putting up a white flag outside their house. So we'd like to hear from you. Do you think asking for help is difficult? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we will be speaking to Dr. Madhusudan Shanmugam, who is the founder of the Teddy Mobile Clinic. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're talking about the Bendera Putih movement, a way for people to reach out for help during these difficult times by placing a white flag outside their house. So we'd like to hear from you. Is it difficult for you to ask for help? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Dr. Madhusudan Shanmugam, who is founder of the Teddy Mobile Clinic. So they run free mobile clinics that serve the underprivileged communities around Kuala Lumpur. They've also set up community food boxes at over 50 Shell stations in the Klang Valley. Dr. Madhu, thank you for joining us today.
Hello.
So, what do you think of the White Flag initiative?
Okay, my opinion, I feel it's a very, very good initiative because there are more people out there who need help during this COVID situation and all. And many people are actually shy to ask for help. So, they probably had a normal life before this, but now suddenly due to this COVID, they have lost their jobs and they are definitely very, I mean, they want help, but they do not know who to approach for help and where to go for help, actually.
And, you know, we're a year on from when Kita Jaga Kita first began. What's your experience of how Malaysians and the community as a whole has stepped up to help one another?
Actually, okay, although almost every single person is having a difficult time now, but there are many people out there who are willing to help, who wants to give what the little things that they have to ease the difficult situation of other people. So see, there are many organizations and many clinics. They have started their own food box initiative where people can drop the groceries there. At the same time, we from the Teddy Mobile Clinic, we have set up 50 food boxes along with Shell at 50 different Shell stations. So in this way, that anybody who wants help, okay, can go and get the groceries from there without any further questions being asked, because they're not going to be questioned, they're not going to be filmed, or no photos going to be taken of them. And at the same time, for those who want to help, and some prefer to remain anonymous, so what they can do is they can go and drop the groceries there for other people to come and collect them.
So that's actually really interesting, right? Because the whole premise behind this Bendera Putih movement is of a household sort of sending out a signal that they need help. Why is that act of asking for help so difficult for most people?
See, like you can see, most of them, okay, before this thing, they never ever thought that they would face this kind of difficult situation. Many of them, okay, would have got a stable job. And they have already have made plans, okay, for the next 10 years, like let's say for housing loan or even in the form of paying for their car, everything. They have all their plans because they knew that they are in a stable job and nothing would happen to them. And so when they have just right enough money, sufficient to take care of their family, and suddenly they lose their job and everything goes haywire. See, for them who have never asked help before, it's very, very difficult to go and ask, okay, guys, I need help to pay for my car loan or pay for the housing loan, or I do not have enough money to buy groceries for the family members. So even, I think so, us, who have a stable job and who have our running our own businesses, we are having a difficult time seeking help and asking help when we really need them. So I'm very sure that many people want help, but they do not know how to ask. They do not know who to go and ask. Even with their own family members, they'll be quite shy to go and seek help.
And, you know, I think that asking for money or asking for food adds a layer of complicatedness to the issue. Can you talk to us about that? Is that something that you see when people come to you for help?
Yeah, I do have, you see, there are a lot of families who have been seeking help. Actually, we get a lot of referrals from many other NGOs saying that this particular family needs help. See, the thing is, many people have the stigma. They do not know the difficulties of people and they do not understand. All they think is, he drives a nice car, he drives a BM, he drives a Mercedes. And why do he need help? But they do not know the exact situation, what is the family facing at that point of time. So it's only through talking to them and getting to know their stories, then you can know what are the real difficulties that they are facing. So that's the same thing. Whenever a family requires our help, we do send a volunteer who goes to their house, try to chit-chat and get to know the background, how many people are working and what else help do they need other than paying for the groceries. Do they need medical attention and such. So it's only by talking to them. So it's easier to open up to your close ones. And even many who are not willing to share, I think so as an individual, you should be alert. You should try to be, you should ask your family members or relatives, how are they doing and how are they coping with life currently and what kind of help do they need. And just by speaking to them, probably they might open up to you. So it's the same thing for mobile clinic. There are more and more families that have started coming and seeking our help because individually, privately, they can come and ask. So there's more families that we provide groceries on a monthly basis. So we know that there are many people who are facing difficult times now.
So with the mobile clinic that you run, do you come across people who are too shy to come and ask you or your volunteers for help? And how do you approach them if they are reluctant?
Okay, like I said, most of the people that we are helping actually are from the homeless community. So homeless community, it was easier to approach them at the time because they knew that we were there, we are being there for them for the past 5 or 6 years. So on a weekly basis, when we meet them, it's easier to talk to them and know what kind of help to need. But now, as for the families, poor families that we have been helping now, it's definitely more difficult, okay, because when they come and approach us saying that, okay, we have children, our children needs milk supply and of that sort, it's they are definitely more reluctant. Okay, one thing is probably because when we ask them what kind of help do they need, they say, do whatever you can for us and that such. It's, and as they know that your help is being constant, that's when they open up and slowly saying that, okay, we do have problems in paying our monthly rental or even our telephone bill or utility bills. We do have this kind of problems. But it's not a very, it's not an easy process. It takes time for them to open up. Probably after 1 or 2 months, they come and tell us, okay, these are the problems they're facing and what other help do they need?
You know, Dr. Madhu, through everything that you're talking about, the importance of conversation is so key, right? Like of actually talking to people, asking questions. Could you talk a bit about how we as a society view people who come forward for help? Is there enough empathy or consideration and perhaps how we could build that a bit better?
Actually, what I said earlier, so I think that you should talk with your family members. Okay, you should give them once in a while, give them a call once in a while to see how they're doing. Because there are many, many people out there who are suffering from depression due to this situation, but they do not want to talk to you. Even the suicidal ideations or suicidal thoughts, it's at that moment of time that it comes to you, okay, suicide, you are facing a difficult time. But at that period of time, when somebody comes and interferes or someone comes and talks to you, okay, and helps you out, okay, you'll feel much better. You know that there's someone out there who's willing to help you. See, like for example, me and a group of friends, for the past 1 year, we randomly send food to them because there's Grab, there's Lala movement, there's all this food vendor and all, where you can just, when you know the address of a particular person, you can send them some groceries. Okay, it's just the form of saying that I'm there for you kind of thing. So it's a very small thing, okay, probably a meal for a family, and all. It's a very small gesture, but you should show people that you are there for them. They are not alone. We are also undergoing difficulties. You are also undergoing difficulties, and we are there to help each other out. And I see that our community, they are very, very helpful. Okay, even a section in my clinic where my patients can come and drop groceries, and I can provide those groceries to other family members. So I see there are more and more people coming and sending us these food items so we can help the people.
Dr. Madhu, any final messages before we let you go?
Oh, okay. Final messages, I will say, okay, keep an eye on each other. Okay, stay safe. Okay, this COVID is definitely a very difficult situation, not only for you, it's for everyone out there. So you have to protect your family members. And at the same time, keep in reach with all your friends. Your friends and your family are very, very important. Try to find out what are the exact problems and what kind of help do they need. There are many organizations out there. There are many people out there who are willing to help. So just reach out to them. Okay, do not feel shy. Do not take, you see, you may take away your life or anything, but that will make other people's life more difficult once you are not there. So think of your family members always and think of your friends too.
Dr. Madhu, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope I had a good message, hopefully.
You did. Thank you. That was Dr. Madhusudan Shanmugam, founder of the Teddy Mobile Clinic, speaking to us about the need for making it easy and to show empathy to those who might come forward asking for help. And we're talking about this, of course, because we are discussing the Bandera Putih movement. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you find it difficult to reach out for help? You can call us 7733290, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be continuing the conversation on this later with Chua Suk Ning, founder and clinical psychologist at Relate Malaysia. So if you have questions or comments, you can send them our way. That number to call, of course, is 7733290, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now a song that I think is what most of us would like to hear at this time. You've Got a Friend in Me by Brian Wilson. Keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bia Fakiran Malayang, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to The Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're now continuing a conversation that we began earlier about the Bandera Putih initiative, which essentially calls for families who might be struggling for food or financially or for other essentials to place a white flag outside their house as a signal for help. And we've been asking you about how difficult you find, or do you find it difficult to ask for help? Call us 7733290, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we do have this message from an anonymous listener.
Yes, so we have anonymous saying, I find asking for help difficult because I fear rejection. At other times, it's my pride or ego that is stopping me, the fear of being looked down upon. Yes, I can tell myself that, you know, it doesn't matter and all the reasons I draw out to assure myself. But during the rare occasion of being down, I do succumb and think that there are whispers and knowing looks. On the other hand, I also find it difficult to be at the receiving end of gratitude for a good deed done. So most of the time, I prefer to give without the recipient's knowledge. From a more practical aspect, I also prefer to remain anonymous to avoid the person asking for help beyond what I'm capable of giving and run the risk of souring relationships, especially if they are friends or relatives. So making donations through NGOs makes things much easier for me. Furthermore, not knowing the recipients also stops me from being judgmental about how the donation is made used of, is used. And Anonymous, I think you raised so many excellent points, and thank you so much for sharing how you feel, because I think so many people find asking for help tough.
Yes, and really that fear of rejection, that fear of judgment is something that is what makes this particularly tricky, right? Because telling someone, a lot of this goes back to that idea of feeling like you failed at something, which is certainly something I feel when I need to admit that I've, when I need help at some point. And I think that speaks to exactly those feelings and why it makes it so difficult to reach out when you might need it. So keep those thoughts coming. Do you find it difficult to reach out for help? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're now joined by Chua Suk Ning, founder and clinical psychologist at Relate Malaysia. Suk Ning, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So what do you think of this Bendera Putih initiative?
I think it's a great initiative to, one, highlight that we all need help and to raise the, I guess, trying to make it easier for people to get help. So good effort overall, and I think very much needed at this time.
And we heard a little bit of it earlier in that message, but I thought we could expand. Why is the act of asking for help difficult?
You know, I think your listener pointed out that it's a presenting in maybe a certain sense of vulnerability, you know, which is a little bit strange if we really think about it. And I'll get into it a little bit excitedly, that we think someone saying no is a rejection. But when we say no to someone who's asking for help, we're not really rejecting them. We could be saying, no, not right now. No, maybe my resources are low. No, maybe I don't have time. I would love to. But we don't mean to say, no, get away from me, which is what rejection usually is like. And it's very personal. Like, I don't like you at all. Go away. So I think it's really just challenging our ideas of when our request for help maybe is turned down. It may not be a personal rejection. Actually, most of the time it isn't. A personal rejection is for some reason that person may not be in a situation that's able to help you. And how great is it that that person said no, because that protects the friendship, because that person has now set boundaries. But so rather than say, oh, no, okay, forget, ask, you know, have the conversation, you know, how are things going on, and don't feel shy. It does, I think, require a bit of thick skin and just to tell yourself it's not me. You know, it's not me. It's just something else is going on. And to use that to explore and to deepen the relationship.
So I wanted to pick up on that, right? Because on the one hand, there's that idea of personal rejection. But on the other hand, when it comes to things like this, on admitting financial difficulty, there's also an idea of a social judgment. And how does that factor into why this becomes so difficult?
I relate to that, and this would be somewhat personal. There was a point of time where I couldn't find a job for 1 year. And so I definitely felt that sense of social judgment and questioning, you know, is it something about me? Am I being too picky? And it really helped to have people in my life who were supportive. Now, I understand that that's a privilege and not everyone has that. And so for those who don't, and for those who do, what's really important is that you don't feel ashamed of it, you know, like, so there could be social judgment, but once you internalize that social judgment and accept that as truth and as defining of you, that would really crush you. And so to say, no, these people are wrong. They don't know it. They don't know how difficult it is and how much work you've put in trying to find a job. They don't understand the situation. So that's one, is really to protect yourself and say, okay, people may not know and they might be making judgments based on assumptions that are really not true, and that's okay, but that's not you. And number two is to then say, okay, I know it's not true, but is there something that could be done? So I think be sink in to the quicksand of hopelessness. But doing something, anything that keeps your interest going, even if it's not what is ideal, that's really important. You know, just something that gives you find interesting, you find fun, engaging. Keep your mind going, particularly during these times, is really crucial.
And Do you personally find it hard to seek help coming from the field itself? And, you know, despite having all that knowledge, because I do think that for a lot of us, we intellectually understand, you know, what is going on when we're asking for help, but it doesn't always help with the emotional vulnerability that we feel we're having to show.
Absolutely. I think you caught me out on it, Lynn. I think we all find it difficult to ask for help. Maybe a little bit easier for me because I've made it part of my identity, asking for help. One thing that I do that is protective, as your listener mentioned, is really difficult when you only ask one person for help. And so what I prefer to do is scatter my help seeking. So if I ask, I feel like I'm fishing and I don't know who would respond and what they are able to do, but I'm going to put it out there and I'm going to ask people. And what has happened is that often it's not that help doesn't come. The most painful thing is that the people I wanted help from didn't help me. And so that taught me a lesson in humility that I don't get to choose where help comes from. If I need help, let's just do what I can and to get the support that I need to recover and to get better. It doesn't really matter where it's from.
Now, when it comes to asking for help because of financial difficulty, how can we do that without compromising our sense of self or without feeling like we're giving up on some sense of dignity?
It's not you. Like, it doesn't define you. You're so much more than, you know, whatever arbitrary thing we've defined as, right? Like, you're not, your self-esteem is not reduced to whether or not you ask for help at one point in time in 2021, June, you know, 29 at 5 p.m. Your life can't be reduced to one single moment, or even 1 year for that matter for COVID-19, or even 2 years or 5 years. Like, we have to take the long view. What if you live for 80 years of your life and you ask for help for one out of the 80 years? What does it matter? So go for it, because you need that for you to get to 80 years old.
So how can we, as individuals and as a society, I think, normalize the idea of asking for help, make it easier to both ask and also to offer?
You hit the nail on the head by saying it's a societal issue. It's a community issue. At this point in time, as I read the article that was about, you know, asking for help and raising the white flag, it just occurred to me that we're not at this point where one individual can do it. We have no more white knights. You know, our frontliners are burnt out, our parents are burnt out, our friends, everyone is in the same situation. So what can we do? We have to come together as a community. This is participating as a community, identifying as what's our social identity. We are Malaysians, Malaysia Boleh. Malaysia can come and support one another, you know, with mamak and teh tarik and roti canai and sit around and help one another out. So what are we doing? If we defined Malaysians as help seeking, giving and receiving help, then this is what our social identity is. We're coming together as Malaysians to support one another at this point in time. And that might mean stepping up your comfort zone, knocking on someone's door, offering them eggs to make, I don't know, talfan, you know, whatever it may be. But I think right now it's really important that we think about this as a community effort rather than a single individual effort.
Suk Ning, thanks again for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Chua Suk Ning, founder and clinical psychologist at Relate Malaysia, speaking to us about the Bendera Putih movement and how we can make it easier for people who need to seek help. And that's what we've been asking you. Do you find it difficult to reach out when you need help? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and we do have some messages.
Yeah, so MZ says, before the Bandera Putih movement is getting enough traction, you already start getting comments from parties, particular individuals about prayers, for example. Is it entitled much? Anyway, I'm on the lookout around my area for this. We'll help whenever I can. At this rate, we really need to help each other. Depending on the current government, it's not working. The MCO at a 4K threshold, it's mind-blowing.
So I completely get this frustration, right? Because on the one hand, we have rakyat-led movements like the Bandera Putih, like Kita Jaga Kita. And then you have, on the other hand, the people who should be actually doing this coming out with, yes, things like this, statements that clearly don't help and often hinder from reaching out to those who might need help.
Yes, and also nobody needs a political hijacking. I think that I found that really, really distasteful. The fact that there have been politicians who've come out and said that they want to framing it as we're participating along with the rakyat, we're going to put up white flags and the like, but really it's to pressure the government into stepping down, for instance. And, you know, do what you will, but don't kind of make use of something that is actively helpful for the rakyat for political gain. Like MZ said, I absolutely plan, you know, as I'm driving to and from work or to get groceries, to keep a lookout for these white flags and to help where necessary. It will not help for you to blanket a neighborhood in white flags in the name of a political statement when people are trying to actually use the movement to seek aid.
So Dr. RK just says, if your elected reps are not doing what they're supposed to do, others will help. And I think that really encompasses what all of this is. As Sukhning said, there's so much that the average Malaysian is doing. But I think the flip side of that is that it displays the gap that our elected representatives should be doing.
We do also have this message from Ling, just briefly, who says, in Asia, our culture is to portray a certain reputation, serving the best food, gifting expensive gifts, wearing branded clothes. And while it shows good hospitality, a lot of people take it to portray that we are richer or higher stature than we in fact are, which is why it's difficult to ask for help. It is almost admitting the most difficult thing to admit. And Ling, I think that absolutely hits the nail on the head, although I don't know if that's a pre-pandemic view, and maybe we've changed.
Maybe we have changed. That's what I was thinking. So keep those thoughts coming. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.